Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Washington State's Supreme Court recently handed a landmark victory to proponents of public education by finding that charter schools are unconstitutional. The system of charter schools in that state was put in place by voters in 2012. It turns out that the law the public voted on allows charter schools to appoint their school boards instead of having publicly elected boards, thereby rendering the schools effectively private and not eligible for taxpayer funding. Meanwhile, Seattle's public schools, which were closed due to a teacher strike, may reopen tomorrow as a potential deal may have been reached between the teachers' union and the Seattle School District. My guest is Wayne Au. He is an associate professor at the University of Washington and an editor for the social justice education magazine Rethinking Schools. He recently wrote an article in Common Dreams about the ruling called Challenging Charter Schools and the Privatization Agenda in Washington State. Welcome to Uprising, Wayne.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, so I understand that those who opposed the ruling that the state Supreme Court made want the state legislature to simply correct the law, but by changing the funding structure rather than changing the way in which the school board is put together, electing them instead of appointing them. That's kind of interesting.
Yes, yeah. Folks who want to try and save the charter schools here in Washington, they're very upset and very taken aback by the Supreme Court ruling. And one of the ways they wanted to, quote unquote, fix it was to say, okay, we can how about changing the funding structure so that the money's come out of a more general fund and not a fund that's devoted to public schools and public education. Of course, like you just said, that raises an interesting point of why not talk about changing the governance structures for charter schools. But they don't really want to do that because, as I point out in my Common Dreams piece, the whole structure of charter schools governance is based upon the idea of having an appointed board at the school board level, at the school level, and then also at the state level. And this came this kind of structuring for school charter school governance comes directly from the American Legislative Exchange Council, the language for this, because it's one of the ways that they can sort of assert the same kind of logics that work for private school vouchers into the charter school system.
And I do want to talk to you about, Alec, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which, of course, often rears its head when we see state-level policies that are often undemocratic or pro-corporate or pro-privatization. Alec has been pushing charter schools around the country in state legislatures, and it has its hand in Washington's charter schools. Are other state laws creating charter schools similar to Washington's system? And if so, can the state Supreme Court ruling be a precedent for other states around the country to challenge their charters?
Yes, I think if we did the research, and we'd have to go look at it, I would guess that a fair number of the charter school laws in other states actually have plagiarized language from the from the ALEC model charter school legislation. That's basically what I did, is I looked at our charter school law and I compared it to their documents, and I found some overlap in the governance structure. And I'm betting if you looked at other states, you would find more. But we'd have to go and sit down and actually sort of pursue that as sort of a research project.
Right. And now, how badly has the Washington state legislature acted? Presumably, the charter system was created by the state legislature based on ALEC's model legislation, and they passed it. How has the state legislature acted in creating the charter school system and really not protecting public schools enough?
Just as a point of clarification, because we have an initiative system.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was actually voted on by voters.
It was voted on by voters. So the law was written and put forward by a coalition of folks, including a few local groups here in Washington State, and then formally submitted by an individual who's an employee of one of those organizations. And it was voted on by the voters here in Washington State. There's a couple things to note about that vote. So the charter school initiative here in Washington barely passed. It passed with a 50.69% majority, which was roughly 41,000 votes out of a total 3 million votes cast. So it just barely passed, and it was put on the ballot largely by monies from Bill Gates and a few other billionaires regionally. And then the campaign to pass the charter school law was mainly funded by both Gates, Eli Broad, and then Alice Walton from the Walton family. were some of the highest donors, as well as folks from the tech industry. And then I've done some other research that also showed that the main nonprofits running the campaign to pass charter schools in Washington State are majorly funded by the foundations connected to those wealthy individuals. And so you really see this push here in Washington State to get charter schools coming from literally the 1%, right? It was these elites both donating their personal monies and then having their foundations. We're also funding the organizations running the campaign. And these are the folks who brought charter schools to Washington State. It wasn't sort of a broad-based, community-based campaign to bring charter schools.
Right. And so now you have a situation that in Washington, there's about, I understand, less than 10 charter schools for about 1,300 students, whereas there are about 1 million kids in public schools. So the number of children impacted by the state Supreme Court ruling is pretty small. Were the charter schools getting the same amount of funding per student as public schools?
Yes, that was the general idea. It was it was supposed to be a straight up swap of the funding that follows the kid into the regular public school would follow the kid into the charter schools, which speaks to my earlier point that is essentially the same kind of logics that we see for voucher systems, where you're going to take the public money and just put it into a voucher and let that follow the kid into whatever non-publicly governed school that they want to go to. And then also going back, I want to touch back on something around the state legislature and their role in all of this. What they do have some culpability in the sense that right now they've created the conditions that are ripe for charter schools to grow here in Washington State, because they've been vastly underfunding public education, so much so that the same state Supreme Court that ruled the charter school law unconstitutional has also held our state legislature in contempt of court for not meeting its constitutional obligations to fully fund public education here.
So there's that role of the state legislature. They've been sort of underfunding public schools.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. That's part of the fight now with the Seattle teacher strike as well, because it's the lack of state funding has made things difficult for districts in terms of being able to actually meet the needs of our children. All of our children, the 1 million children in Washington State.
And the news has broken, actually, that teachers in Seattle will be returning to work today, and classes are apparently going to begin on Thursday. There's a tentative contract agreement between the teachers and their school district. Now, let's talk about the fact that this whole charter system is one that is nationwide, and this particular instance in the state of Washington is a flashpoint. How surprised were you that the Supreme Court ruled the system unconstitutional? Is this the biggest blow that the system has received?
I was not surprised, only in that a lot of us had pointed out what we saw as the unconstitutionality of this particular charter school law since it was floated originally. I guess one might be surprised that a state Supreme Court was willing to push back and essentially rule against a very powerful group of folks who've been promoting charters both in Washington State, but essentially it becomes a blow to the charter movement nationally. And now there are other states, you know, I've been contacted by folks from California and from Colorado, for instance, because they want to pursue and look into, okay, what do our state constitutions say? And maybe there are constitutional challenges to be made against charter schools and in other places.
And just to step back and explain this, I mean, essentially, this is public money, taxpayer money that is funding schools that are supposed to be transparent, overseen in a transparent way to educate our children. And charter schools want that money to go into schools that are essentially run like private institutions where teachers aren't unionized necessarily and there's less accountability. Does that sort of sum it up?
Yes, that actually does sort of sum it up. Again, because you have charter school governance that would be appointed, that means that you'd have public money following kids into schools that aren't governed by the public. And you're absolutely correct. The vast majority of charter schools are not unionized. In fact, they've been using charter schools and organizations like Teach for America to try and break teachers' unions locally around the country, different regions like in New Orleans or Chicago and those kinds of areas. And so that's why this ruling is so important nationally, because it could be a flashpoint. Because it's Washington State specific, it can't set precedent for other states.
Right.
But it can helps pressure the union proponents. I mean, not the charter school proponents. And it also shows a kind of logic that folks can use elsewhere and start to look at and see if they can do the same thing that Washington did.
And all of this is pushed under the banner of school choice, which yes. doesn't really tell you much until you start examining what's at stake. Now, the students and the parents who are obviously well-meaning, sincere people attending these charter schools. And we have in California as well plenty of charter schools where students and teachers and parents are very well-meaning people who do want what's best for their kids. In Washington, the response, of course, has been to hold rallies. People have been saying, save our schools, keep them open. And it's heartbreaking to see any educational institution close down. How do you respond to somebody who's at a charter school who says, I love my school and it's being closed down?
Yeah, well, you know, particularly here in Washington State, there's a couple of things to say. One is the timing of the ruling was terrible for those families and for those families and kids. To have the ruling come down in September, even after some of the schools have opened, right, is clearly problematic and it creates a situation that puts them in a difficult situation. So I'm totally sympathetic to the timing being problematic for them. And I'm also sympathetic to the possibility that either the charter school operators weren't necessarily communicating to the families that this was a risk, a real risk, that this ruling could come down and the charter school could be shut down. I don't even know if the charter school operators even fully understood that risk. So you don't know the communication chains. But the main point to make around this is to say that, you know, the whole charter school model is based on a model of being small businesses,
right?
And that's what they predicate the whole model on. And so if in this case, then what you're doing is you're saying, okay, look, these guys open their small businesses in an unstable sort of business context, right? So basically, folks are making an investment, and that's the risk that you take when you predicate your schools on a business model, and you have to absorb the risk of what the business model means, and that means that some businesses close down. Because
Good
of state
point.
Regulations.
Good
you know?
Point. Yeah. Well, Wayne, we'll post a link to your article from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Wayne Au is an associate professor at the University of Washington, Bethel, and an editor for the social justice education magazine Rethinking Schools. His article on Common Dreams is called Challenging Charter Schools and the Privatization in Washington State.